This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
All right. What is going on, everybody? And welcome to another episode of Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera. And well, today is Sunday, January 15th, 2023. This is episode 71 of the podcast. I don't usually intro like that. Obviously, we're in a rut. You know, I would say in a rut as Madridistas, we're not having a good time right now. It's definitely, obviously this is a couple hours since El Clásico took place at King Fahd Stadium in Saudi Arabia. I think that's how you pronounce it. King Fahd Stadium in Saudi Arabia for the Supercopa de España, and Real Madrid lost the game 3-1. To our rivals from Barcelona. And if there is one team I hate losing to, it's to those effing scumbags from Barcelona. I will never, ever want that team. I will never like that team. I will always hate that team. I hate them with a passion. I despise that team. And, you know, it is the biggest nightmare. They are the biggest nightmare. They're the biggest pain in our ass. And I just don't understand it. I don't understand how we continue to lose to this team. Even when they're in, as people like to say on Twitter, when they're in their banter era, when they're in an era where everyone is talking trash about them because they've been, obviously Messi is gone. They've lost a lot of their quality players. You know, Luis Suarez, of course, is out of the picture. Neymar is out of the picture. Xavi is out of the picture, although now he's coach. Iniesta is out of the picture. That, you know, legendary team is gone, and they have a bunch of players, some of them good, some of them obviously talented. Lewandowski, of course, on the team who, you know, There needs to be no explanation. I don't think he needs people to talk about how good he is. He is a great player. I know some people want to banter and say, oh, you know, he's not the same player, or he's washed, or he's finished, or whatever. No, he's not. He's the same Lewandowski that was at Bayern. He's the same Lewandowski that was at Dortmund. He is a quality player. So that guy is there. But then they have the likes of guys like Dembélé, of Gavi, who I still, regardless of his performance today, maybe it's because I just have a hatred for the kid. He's 18 years old. And, I just feel like, Do I think he's talented? Sure, he's talented. Like any professional football player is going to be talented because, you know, if you're playing professionally, you are talented. But is he the world-class player that people try to paint him as? Absolutely not. I will say that about Pedri. I will say that Araujo is obviously a fantastic player. Koundé is a great defender as well. I wouldn't say that much about Christensen. I think Balde is definitely showing that he's a talented guy. But this team has shown us time and again to other teams that they are not the Barcelona of old. They are not a world-beating team. They are not a team that's capable of winning Europe. They are not, right now they're in the Euro League and in the Europa League, sorry. They're going to have to face Manchester United, which is now doing really well under Erik ten Hag, as much as I don't want them to. But this is not a team that we should be losing to. And it's like we go into this game consistently worrying about, I don't know if it's we're not we're worried. I would say I don't know if it is the ghosts of Barcelona past, that at one point these guys have always been a thorn in our side, that we let them win games the way they win games. I mean, they beat us 4-0 when they, you know, the last season, which in the end meant nothing. And they're beating us 3-1 in this game and making us look absolutely atrocious, because the team looked absolutely atrocious. Now, the only thing that you could be saying is that Barcelona is starting to find their form while Real Madrid seems to be falling apart at the seams. Now, I'm not saying that as a guy who, I will not be one of these reactionary Madridistas that's going to say, oh, you know, this team sucks and, you know, we need to get rid of everybody and Ancelotti out and da 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 da. And every single time there's a loss, they want somebody's head on a stick, because that's just, you know, it's as if no team at any time can ever lose a game. But the point is, sure, we can lose a game. The one against Villarreal, okay, that's a hiccup, right? That's a hiccup. That's a game that we lost. They played better than us. That's one that's okay. I'm not okay, but that's one that, you know, that should be the wake-up call. There's been a long line of wake-up calls already showing us that this team, you know, this team needs to wake up. Essentially, it's a wake-up call, because the team needs to start, like they say in Spain, espabilar. They have to understand that this is, that they are competing for everything. And I'm not saying they go into the game to lose, but it's absolutely ridiculous to me that they perform with, it's sort of like a lack of attitude, like I don't know if there's a lack of fitness. I mean, there's obviously something going on right now. I don't know, you know, obviously, you know, we could say it's coming back from the World Cup, but, you know, a lot of players on Barcelona's team came back from the World Cup. And you're not seeing this absolute drop in form. If anything, the last few games they've been able to grind out wins even when they're not performing well. Real Madrid, on the other hand, we haven't been able to, like we did last season, because this is essentially the same team, like we did that season, grind out wins when, you know, times were tough. And that's the problem with winning. I think that's the problem with winning a Champions League and winning a La Liga like we did last season, sort of by the skin of our teeth. It's that you really worked hard regardless of, you know, the downsides and certain things, you know, not having, you know, I would say, not saying that we don't have the quality. We have quality on the pitch. But, you know, winning things, you know, and making it very difficult to win things, and kind of coming from behind and struggling to win and suffering to win, that eventually takes a toll. And then once you win, I'm wondering if we've dropped our guard. You know, I'm wondering if the same players that already did it last season are kind of like, well, we don't have to do it this season, or we already did it last season, so we kind of get a pass and we can, you know, we can try to find our way. And that's not the Real Madrid way. It's like, you know, the Real Madrid mentality is what you did last season now means nothing, you know, and that's the unfortunate thing. I mean, as a fan base, you know, I don't think that's how we should behave, but that's how the institution is. That's what's expected from the institution. That's what's expected by the fan base. And I would say that's a double-edged sword, because it can't always be that way, of course. But what's expected is to win everything all the time, even though that's not entirely possible. But what can't ever happen is that the attitude that we must go in to win everything all the time can't, you know, there we can't see, Madridismo and Madridistas cannot see a team going into a game seemingly feeling like it doesn't matter, you know? And I know the narratives of these kind of things are always, you know, like, especially with Supercopa, because Supercopa is, you know, it's not a big trophy. It's not a major tournament. Essentially, we shouldn't even be. And that's the thing that pisses me off. Number one, we're playing it in Saudi Arabia, which I understand. You're trying to market La Liga and continue to market La Liga to other countries. So you're taking it to Saudi Arabia. And at the end of the day, it's a money grab. And, you know, it used to be between whoever won La Copa del Rey, right, and whoever won La Liga. So essentially it should be us playing Real Betis. Not saying that I think the way we played today, we would have beaten Real Betis, because Betis is playing great this season. And the way we played today, I think Betis would have beaten us. But it's absolutely ridiculous, this whole thing with the money grab. And this tournament where, you have to make up and grab four teams to do the Supercopa. Like, that's not what they do anywhere else. And it's a money grab. And to do it in Saudi Arabia, it's just it's an annoying thing, because at the end of the day, yes, I know they want to promote La Liga. But if you really wanted to promote La Liga, you would stop with the bullshit, like trying to pull down every single clip that somebody clipped from a game that is like a split second just because we want to show a nice goal or passes. That's what promotes La Liga. Fans promote La Liga. Taking it to Saudi Arabia so you can get a few bucks. I'm pretty sure it's a lot more than a few bucks, but so that the Federation can get a few bucks from the Saudis is total bullshit. So I'm heated because of that, obviously, because Barcelona shouldn't even be in the thing. They shouldn't even be able to lift up this trophy in the first place. They don't, they didn't do anything last season to deserve it other than come in second place, when that's not how La Liga and that's not how Supercopa has traditionally been won. So that thing right there is ridiculous. But before I go on with this, and I'm heated, obviously, and I'm mad because, and it's not even about losing. It's losing to Barcelona. Like I said, that team, I hate that team. I hate that team, and I want them to lose every single time. This whole thing about, I always think about this kind of thing, this kind of stuff when people say that, it's a rivalry and when they're doing bad, some people are kind of sad because we want, we don't want, we need the rivals in La Liga. But it's like, dude, Atletico can be our rivals. Real Betis can be our rivals. Real Sociedad can be our rivals. Valencia can be our rivals. Whatever team in La Liga, let's raise the level of La Liga. But Barcelona, for all I care, can go down to Segunda, And we were in a prime time to be able to do that. They're suffering financially. They can't find, they weren't able to play, get some of the results. They're out of the Champions League, and these are the chances for us to, with the players that we have, that we've won the Champions League, we've won La Liga, to continue to prove a point. And we let them into the ball game. Now, granted, I think it's a good thing, and the silver lining in all this is that this could be a wake up call and give them this little, give them the Supercopa, which at the end, to me, at the end is a money grab, but I still want to win it. So give them the Supercopa, but they should not be allowed. Fine, but they should not be allowed. And we, Madridistas, the team, Real Madrid, should know that Madridistas do not want this team to win. And then anytime we play them, the job of the team is to bury them. And because that's the same way they go into every game. They go into every game really wanting to win. And not only win, they go into every game wanting to make a statement. I don't understand why Real Madrid, every single time we play them, it's not that. We don't go in to play them to make a statement. It's like we sort of half-ass it. And then by half-assing it or feeling like, it doesn't really matter. And then we end up with like these stupid score lines, 4-0, 3-1. And I mean, obviously we beat them earlier this season in La Clásico, and we better beat them in the next Clásico, But, it just bothers me. I don't understand why we keep doing this. Madrid keeps doing this. They should know that the one offense you cannot commit as a Madridista or as a Madrid player is go into a Barcelona game half-assed. And that's what they looked like today. Even if they wanted to win it, they didn't look like they wanted to win it. A lot of the players didn't look like they want to win it. And there's other reasons for that. But okay, so before I go into the rest of, of all this and the rest of my rant, what I want to say is essentially, yes, guys, please subscribe to the podcast. My goal is to continue doing one a week. I actually was going to do a reaction video today, but part of me doesn't know. I don't like sitting like in front of a computer and watching it. And then I would have to edit. We would have to edit it afterwards, And because you're not going to watch like 90 minutes of my reactions to a game. But I definitely want to do that. It's going to be, and I'll do it for the next El Clásico, and I'll do it for bigger games, I guess, during Champions League. Maybe the first one I'll do is Liverpool when we face Liverpool in the Champions League. That'll be my first reaction video. So I'll see if I do that. But with that said, you know, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be doing one podcast a week, one video podcast a week. Each month I want to do one live stream. That live stream will be turned into a podcast, of course. So it's basically four episodes a month is really going to be the standard. But then, you know, if anything comes up during the, you know, that I can quickly do, you know, I had created this, you know, small thing that I was doing on my phone. I was doing the quick take, and then I would have my editor put it up and everything, which was a quick take, was like, you know, 5 minutes or 6 minutes of like just a quick reaction or whatever. I need to get back on those. But anyway, the idea is to keep the content coming. Whether it's articles from Trombach, who's already been writing articles on for the website, articles for Halal. Halal is going to be, like I said, I want him to join me on the podcast, but sometimes the time difference between here in the UK, between here in India. And then I have other people that want to jump on here and there. So I'm going to try to do that more often. But the idea is, you know, we're starting off the year strong and keeping the content coming. So with that said, you know, subscribe, guys, to the podcast, especially if you are listening right now. The video version of the podcast is on YouTube. Our goal is to get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So that's at Inada Mas Podcast on YouTube. Check us out on YouTube. Please subscribe. Tell your friends if they're Madridistas or if they just want to, you know, hate on Madridistas. They can do it too. You know, haters are welcome because, you know, you're not going to grow unless you get some haters. You know, when you start getting haters is when you know you've made it. So I am not averse to haters. I am not averse to banter, and I will shit talk back to you, and I'll be pretty mean because I can be pretty mean. But anyway, with that said, you know, subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, guys, because we really want to hit that 1,000 mark. And it's another way that you guys can interact, because the podcast, aside from the audio version that you're listening to right now, the video version, like I said, I throw things up on the screen, you know, pictures, stats, things like that. Obviously, if we're going to do a podcast with somebody else, you'll be able to see the guest as well and all that. If you are just listening to the audio version, thank you for that. And if you are listening to the audio version on Apple Podcasts, one of the things that I really ask you guys is to jump on there and hit the, you know, hit the ratings button. So, you know, give it a rating, whether it's 4 stars, 5 stars, whether it's 1 stars, because you want to be a dick, whatever it is. Just jump on there, give it a rating. And also, you know, throw a comment on there, because that helps us rise up in the ranks in Apple Podcasts. But we're also on Google Podcasts. We're also on Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, pretty much everywhere that there is podcasts available. We are on there. So check us out there. If you guys have any comments, man, you know, hit me up on Twitter. I am at Inadamas Podcast on Twitter. I am always pretty active on Twitter. That's what I'm trying to, that's where it's, you know, me on the podcast, not the team, you know, not the staff, but the staff is also doing things. You know, follow us, guys, on Instagram. You know, we're throwing up different graphics and photos and things that we're doing there. My designer's always putting stuff up there at YNM Podcast on Facebook as well, at Inada Mas Podcast. And, you know, we will be streaming on Twitch at Inada Mas Podcast and on YouTube at Inada Mas Podcast. If you have any suggestions or you want to write for us or you have maybe some ideas for the podcast, that maybe we haven't thought of yet. Hey, man. And, you know, we're always open to that. Check us out at info@inadamas.net. Write us an email there. Also, check our website, inadamas.net, which is where you can find all the articles from my good friend Trombach, from Halal. I'll jump on there and write stuff myself. And then you'll also find a little button on the top right-hand corner of inadamas.net. Where you can give a donation to the pod. Hey, if you guys want to help us keep going, you know, with our all the fees that it takes to, you know, host the website, you know, to get cool new equipment for the studio, it helps us out a lot because we aren't making any money yet from this thing. But the idea is to eventually get there, which is why we want 1,000 subscribers to monetize this thing. And like I said, I don't want to put it behind a paywall. That's not really my thing. So If you guys want to donate and you guys want more Real Madrid content, we'll figure out a way to, aside from your donation, eventually, you know, have other perks and things like that that you can get. I know I could do that if I do it behind a paid wall, but right now I don't want to do it because there's nothing else I can really offer you other than additional episodes. And I don't really want to do additional episodes because, you know, doing these episodes right now, you know, with my day job and my kids and the whole family is already time consuming enough. So, you know, I'll try to find other things. You know, we got a bunch of designers on the team and things like that. You know, maybe we'll put together some shirts. We'll put together some kind of some swag that you guys can have with the Nada Más podcast. So we'll do that. And that's pretty much it, guys. That's pretty much it for the social media stuff. So yeah, going back to the game, like I said, I mean, really, there's really nothing else to talk about than El Clásico. You know, this is, you know, it's been a rough 2 days for me. You know, I got to go to, yesterday I got to go to locally here in Miami, you know, Inter Miami's stadium is obviously here. But we had Millonarios, Football Club, which is from Colombia, and, River Plate from Argentina. They faced off yesterday at the Inter Miami Stadium, or the Drive Pink Stadium, as it's called. And, you know, they faced off there. And it was really a Millonarios versus Millonarios because Millonarios FC is the name of the Colombian team. But River Plate are also known. Nickname is Millonarios. So it was Millonarios versus Millonarios, which is what it was kind of called, like the Millonarios super friendly or something like that. But anyway, two teams, you know, that are well known. And obviously, you know, as a Madridista, if you are, you know, familiar with Real Madrid history, of course, Alfredo Di Stefano played for both teams. He played for River Plate and played for Millonarios before heading to Real Madrid. And it was actually the fact that he played for both of those teams that both of those teams felt they owned the rights to him. So I believe there was the whole situation where Barcelona to this day thinks that we stole Alfredo Di Stefano from them because they negotiated with Real Madrid. I think they negotiated with River while we negotiated with, while Real Madrid negotiated with Millonarios, but something happened and essentially we bought him from Millonarios and ended up with him, and the rest is history. So that is still something that is a thorn in their side to this day. And I was happy to go to a game that continues to be a thorn in their side. Two legendary teams where he played and ended up going to Madrid and making history at Madrid. Unfortunately, you know, as a fan of Millonarios, not so much. I'm a fan of Millonarios, but my family in Colombia are big fans of Millonarios, and they unfortunately lost 2-0. To River Plate. It was a good game, but then, I mean, I don't know. Argentinian football, I feel like Colombian football still has a way to go. And, you know, River is River. You know, they're a strong team, you know, out of the, you know, the two strongest teams really in Argentina. And, you know, one of the strongest teams on the continent, essentially. So, you know, they showed their class and they eventually scored 2 goals. One was a penalty that was scored by a Colombian player against Millonarios, which is Miguel Borja. So that was pretty much it. But anyway, so that was a sad story. And then I was, you know, really anticipating today. And I thought we were going to be able to do something today against Barcelona. And, you know, even if we lost, but at least to lose by trying the game, trying to win the game. And it just looked like it was a ridiculous just performance, terrible performance. So there's been a lot of things, there's been a lot of talks, and I was writing some pointers down, but I you know, one of the things I see is a lot of like Ancelotti out and and all this stuff, and I really think it's just, you know, reactionary crap, because, you know, I can't get behind people wanting Ancelotti out because the team really has been lacking in depth for quite some time now. You know, it lacked depth when we had Zidane. The second time around, it's lacking depth now. You know, and it's been a problem, you know, because Florentino and the management of the team has not wanted to, you know, pick up players that we really need in each position. And while, you know, we're a lot of us, and myself included, believed enough in this team and felt that we were good enough, there is still always that little piece that you want, you know, that little piece that will just, that two or three additional players that would not only, that would just offer backup in those places that we need it the most. And, you know, I think what the problem is lately, you know, with, I think the drop in form, let's say, that we're seeing from some of the players, I really can't fault Ancelotti when he looks at the bench and essentially on the bench, who do you go to change the game? He's as baffled as all of you are. You know, I think even Steve McManaman from I don't know what channel he's, you know, usually on, but I saw a quote from him saying, you know, Ancelotti looks at the bench, or that he looks at the Real Madrid bench, that McManaman would look at the Real Madrid bench and really say, I don't know who you can bring on the right now to make a difference or to change the game. There's just nobody there. I mean, who are you going to bring on? Are you going to bring on Hazard, who we've all already known that ship has sailed, that he is not the Hazard of old? And I don't think, and it would be a lie, you would be lying to yourself. As much as you want to respect Hazard and love Hazard, you'd be lying to yourself to think that guy has any business at Real Madrid anymore. The same can be said, I think Asensio is no longer somebody that's going to come in and change the game. He, at best, is just a squad player. Lucas Vazquez is now out, you know, injured. And what is it, something like 6 months they said he's going to be out, which at the end of the day, I mean, what was he really going to offer? He's not our starting right back. And when he does deputize, he only occasionally ever has a good game. You know, he's not going to deputize as your right wing. Mariano, of course. I mean, somebody that nobody wants on the team, but he still remains there. And, you know, that's really all you have on the team. Odriozola, and then the rest is like people from the academy, which is like the Lunin, who is the backup for Courtois, that you're not going to take off Courtois. Nacho, who I honestly would say I would prefer now. I think Nacho always puts his heart into the game. So I would, you know, I would maybe prefer Nacho over Rudiger because of, you know, what I saw from Rudiger today. I don't know. There's nobody there that's going to change anything aside from Rodrigo. And I really think, you know, the thing is, you know, you have to bring on Rodrigo I think Rodrigo needs to start as a winger, because this whole idea of, well, anyway, I mean, you know, the thing is, right now I feel like, just talking about the Ancelotti out situation, and I'll get back to Rodrigo in a minute, I think the blame lays square on the fact that Florentino Perez and the management of Real Madrid have failed to reinforce the key positions. Most importantly, the fullbacks and a backup striker and an out-and-out right winger, which we do not have. We have makeshift right wingers because Rodrigo is not a right winger. In Brazil, he was a left winger. We've seen him play and be a more, you know, his talent really shines when he's playing on the left. So he is not an out and out right winger. And then you already have on that side is where you have Vinicius, which is what his most powerful position is. And so right now we're playing, you know, and then let's be real. Modric, Kroos, Benzema, Carvajal, they're all on the negative side of 30 at this point. We have no fullbacks aside from Carvajal, who just today got smoked by Balde. And while his skills, for me, while I think his skills are unquestionable, he's a very talented. He's a very talented right back and has been, and I think at times was one of the best right backs in the world. But, you know, the problem is his pace, just like what happened to Marcelo, is fading away. So he can help you in attack, which I think he helps more, obviously, than somebody like Mendy, who also I'll get to in a second, but doesn't offer much at all in attack. You know, so he's good going forward. He's a liability trying to get back, as we saw with Balde today smoking him completely. And he's injury prone. So with Lucas Vazquez out, and who's also not great either, and, you know, I mean, hats off to him. He's a guy who will, you know, who kind of grows on you because he's got heart and he plays his heart out. And I think we needed that heart today. You need those players with heart, but, which is why I think you need a player like maybe a Nacho would have done better today because he actually tries. But aside from that, you know, Lucas Vazquez is not that great as a backup. And then you have Odriozola, who's not a backup either. So you have a major problem at right back. And then at left back, as I said before, Mendy has been having issues for over a year. You know, I love Mendy defensively. I think he can do a great job. But, you know, when it comes to the modern game, you can't have a left back that, a left back that's just good defensively. He's got to add to the attack. He's got to, you know, and we've seen it today. We see it over and over and over again lately. It's, you know, he adds very little to attack, which leaves Vinicius having to take on multiple defenders with little to no outlet. Because there's very rare overlaps from, let's say, you're barely ever seeing Mendy overlap, or you're barely ever seeing him, you know, making an inverted run so that Vinicius stays on the wing, offering, you know, that kind of overload to overload, you know, the winger, which in this case, or overload the Barcelona fullback, right back in this situation, which was Araujo. You're offering him no other way to so he eventually has to take on two guys who are pretty solid in the likes of Koundé and Araujo by himself, because there's nobody else to add it there. And then his only option is to maybe try and dribble through them and make a cutback to, you know, somebody coming into the box, which is usually Kroos or Modric, somebody trying to make their way into the box, you know, and try to overwhelm that way. But there is nobody else there. Or Benzema has to drop back, and that's the 1-2 combination is going to be there. But then you're not overloading. You're not, don't have, you know, what they call a, you know, you're like, you don't have an overload. You don't have that, you know, extra man coming in that's going to offer, be a headache for the defenders. Because if Benzema drops back and is in 1-2, somebody else is going to fill that spot. And then besides that, you have nobody in the middle to, let's say, finish a play, make a header, anything like that. There's nobody, there's no striker in the middle anymore. And so, you know, that's, I feel like that's where the lack of ideas are. And it's really important to have, you know, a marauding left back or full back in this case. You know, in the case of Mendy, somebody has to go in there, and Mendy's not that guy. So it's high time to get somebody else. You know, when we need to play defensive, maybe, you know, but you need somebody else that can offer both things. And I'm not saying Mendy's a bad player, man. I love, you know, what he does, but, you know, he's very, very limited. I think today he did a cross on an overlap, and I always think that's like the one time I've seen him do it in a long time, and it actually almost led to a goal from Benzema. But that was the one time you really see him, you know, go, and sometimes his crosses are just terribly bad, you know. So, you know, that's the problem. And then aside from that, Barcelona dominated in the midfield. You know, without Tchouaméni, we had to rely on Camavinga, and I was very happy that we had Camavinga. And while I have no doubt that Camavinga is talented, I think the problem is, you know, he's been devoid of minutes both on his national team and here with Real Madrid, that, you know, you put him in a final, and I'm pretty sure, yeah, it's like sink or swim with Real Madrid. Now is your chance to shine, kid. You know, you're 19 years old. Tchouaméni is out. We put you in there as a defensive midfielder. And in a way, I can't fault him too much for not, you know, being up to par. You know, you could see that the lack of rhythm showed. And it showed in the fact that he was super inaccurate today with his passes. I think looking at some of the stats I was looking at earlier, I think he only had he made 68% of his passes. He got dispossessed multiple times, you know. One of them, of course, led to a goal. But I mean, I would, you know, Rudiger's pass was terrible to Camavinga. And so, you know, Busquets scoops in, passes the ball right there to Lewandowski, who just passes it out to Gavi and gives Gavi a chance to score, man. Gavi, of all people. You know, the one kid I just don't want him to do well. But, you know, because they blow so much smoke under this kid, man, and they're trying to make him seem like the next world beater, and he's not. And, you know, but you give him this wide open opportunity, he's going to bury it. He's going to score, man, you know. He's going to make it if you give him that amount of space and that amount of time to think about it. And besides that, I think there was just, you know, all over. So the midfield dominated today. You know, obviously Barca's midfield dominated, and they were able to overwhelm him. But our defenders were no better. And then that defensive lapse that Carvajal once again. You know, speaking of Carvajal and Militao, like I think it, and then that goes into my next point. There was a lack of communication on the pitch, because when they go out there to, I think it was to. Was it to cover De Jong? I forgot who it was, but they go out there and they go to cover De Jong, I believe it is. And then what they do is they just leave. It's Gavi's wide open. And so then all he has to do is slot the ball to awaiting Lewandowski, and that was it. You know, Lewandowski, I mean, you leave all that space. I mean, there was just meters of space. It looked like there was nobody. There was no defense. Essentially, there was no defense. The only guy there was Rudiger. The only one that was going, tracking back and staying with Gavi was Rudiger. And there's no one in the center. So it's essentially a two-on-one situation. And, you know, I have to say, the track back from Mendy was absolutely lackadaisical. I know he's faster than that. But it's like he just let it go. Like, I mean, I'm not going to make it. I'm not even going to try. And Militao is obviously trying to get there too. Somebody else was trying to get back too. And, you know, there's absolutely no way you're going to stop that. So that's two just really badly conceded goals. Anyway, there was just a lack of communication. And I think that's what led to that. I mean, if somebody's going to go press, who I believe it was De Jong, but I don't remember exactly, or if it was Busquets. But if you're going to go out and press the guy, you know, somebody has to say, hey, you press him, and then somebody has to, you know, cover the wing here with Gavi, who's coming on, who's going down and bombing down the left-hand side of the pitch. Somebody's got to stop him. But two players go towards the guy, and then you get completely caught out of position. So there was no communication there, and it could be. And that's where you can fault Ancelotti, because in other lacks of communication I saw was like what it seemed like just erratic planning and playmaking when it came to trying to string passes together. I think a lot of you guys saw it, or were as frustrated as I am, as I was, that there were passes made to players. There were passes made that essentially looked like they were made by one player thinking that the other guy was going to make a run, and he wasn't making a run. So, the ball goes to absolutely nowhere. And then when players did go on a run, the pass didn't go. Or when players did make a run, they were either, the pass was either overhit or underhit. So it was behind the player, so he can't come back, and you're missing him, and he's not, he's already gone. Or you're just overshooting it completely. Just it seemed like it was just, I don't know, it was erratic. I don't know. Some of the runs were lazy. Some of it just seemed, and that's where you can fault Ancelotti, where it seems like, what have you guys been working on in the pitch? And why are things not working out? Why are they not working out? Why is Barcelona seemingly having a plan and being able to knock around the ball and seemingly being able to find each other on the field and while one player is drawing another player out, the other player is making a run, and they're able to triangulate their passes to overwhelm, get out of the midfield and avoid the press and just get into the final third. And then every attack by Barcelona essentially looked like it could have been a goal. Every chance that they made was seemingly a dangerous chance. So it was just an atrocious display by Real Madrid. And, I think it's down to a lot of different things. I think it's down to attitude. It's also down to, yes, lack, in coaching from Ancelotti, but I can't just blame Ancelotti when there is a lack of players. There's a lack of players, Tchouaméni is out. So you put in Camavinga, who hasn't had minutes. Carvajal is old. Modric has, I think they were mentioning something in the commentary, something about Modric's, I think something about him saying that he felt his legs were heavy. I mean, the guy's played something like 30-something games already, going to extra time with Croatia during the World Cup. he, you know, makes it to the semifinals. He has every excuse in the book to be tired, and he's the guy that's the oldest. But Kroos is what, going to be 33 or something like that? But he didn't even play with Germany. Benzema didn't even play with France. Carvajal, yeah, I guess he played with Spain, but they were out in the round of 16. So I don't understand. You know, there is no other explanation other than these guys are just getting older and age is starting to play a factor. So obviously these guys are very important players for the team, but one of my things is, you know, I think one of the other things I thought about was, you have to, I think the whole situation always, so I wanted to get back to the Rodrigo point. I don't know why we don't start with Rodrigo. I know like a lot of times we start with him and he doesn't look as good or whatever, but I would choose Rodrigo over Asensio. And honestly, you know, the Valverde experiment worked last year, but maybe it's just not the same this year. Maybe people expect it. Teams are expecting it when they see him on the score, on the team sheet. You know, put Valverde back to where he should be, which is in the midfield. Give Modric or Kroos a breather. Don't start them all the time, or start them together. You know, give Camavinga more minutes. Obviously, Tchouaméni needs to start when he's healthy, of course. You know, Valverde needs to be there. You know, you can either have Kroos or Modric in the midfield with one of those two guys and start the winger with Rodrigo and let him get more minutes and get him time or bring somebody else up. And when it comes to the right back, let's bring in Vinicius Tobias and try to give him some more minutes. Something needs to be done. And if you're not going to buy players, but you have to buy players. I mean, that's the other thing. Players need to come in. Whether it's this kid, Fran Garcia, I think, from Rayo Vallecano that we've been talking about bringing him in. I don't know if he's, I think he's a left back, right? Let me check real quick. I'm going to see here real quick if he's a right back or a left back. But you have to make the adjustments, you know? And it seems like right now we aren't thinking of bringing anybody in, and that's a huge problem. So Fran Garcia is professional football, plays as a left back. So he's a left back. So you can bring in Fran Garcia to essentially replace, give him minutes over somebody like Mendy. And I've seen Rayo, I've seen Fran Garcia play at Rayo, and I think he's absolutely fantastic. He is a Madrid player, for God's sake, you know. And then Vinicius Tobias, give him a run out. If we're not going to bring in new players, then bring up some guys from La Cantera. You know, that's the problem. That, you know, the one thing I would give to Barcelona is at least they're investing in their youth, or they're trying to make their youth, you know, trying to show that the youthfulness of the side that they have. Real Madrid is not doing that. We got, you know, Carvajal, you know, you have to sit this guy down, man. You have to give opportunities to other players. And with Mendy, you know, we need some more attacking output. And I think Fran Garcia would be a great addition. Bring that guy in. He's not going to cost you that much. So anyway, with that said, I say Ancelotti is a solid coach. Bringing in someone new right now is not going to solve the problem. And then I think, you know, if you're going to bring him in, who can you bring in? Because one of my other issues that I feel with Real Madrid is that Real Madrid isn't a team where the coach runs the show. You know, one of the things I've seen from documentaries about Real Madrid is, you know, one of the differences is, like, you look at like Todd Boehly, like at Chelsea now, or Roman Abramovich, like, or you look at some other teams all around the world, you barely ever hear about who the president of the team is. But with Real Madrid, Florentino is the star of the show. And I think that's one of the things that makes La Liga different, is that you have like that. I think there's a little bit too much, as they say in Spanish, protagonismo. There's too much, you could say it in English, the presidents of the team. There's too much there. It's like a reality show. They have way too much protagonism. Like, there's just way too much. They're way too involved at a almost, how would I say, media side level. You know, like a farandula type level, like almost like a gossip column sort of level in Spain than they are in England. They are in the Premier League. You don't see like this sort of, you know, protagonism by these, by the big presidents of the clubs. You know, you barely know who they are. I mean, some of them you would know, you know, you're like Levy, Daniel Levy from Tottenham, but that's, I can only remember him because he's at, he would, you know, because of the reality show, because of All or Nothing on Prime. But with Florentino, it's like Florentino is like, you know, he comes out and you would almost think that he's the manager. And I think that's the problem. Like, I think what happens with Real Madrid is the management has a lot of say. You know, the coach is one thing, but the coach does not have free reign the way I think they do in a lot of other countries, where the coach is like, essentially, I'm coming in. This is what I want to do. These are the guys I'm going to bring in. I need you guys to help me. Like, it's sort of like a collaborative effort. You know, I think Florentino, and I, you know, I've heard it before, you know, Florentino wants a yes man. So a lot of you guys are saying, oh, you know, we need to bring in new coaches and they got to be modern and they got to be guys like Tomas Tuchel or Conte or Nagelsmann or some of these guys. And, you know, obviously not all of those guys would fit the picture, but some of these modern coaches are hard headed. They want things done their way. They like to, you know, sort of strong, not strong arm, but like they're very, you know, demanding with management. And I just think, you know, with Real Madrid, that doesn't fly. You know, Florentino isn't going to pick you. He's not going to pick those guys. He wants a yes man. Florentino is El Capo. You know, if you were talking about like the Godfather kind of like old school mafia sort of mentality kind of things, Florentino is the capo. He is the capo, you know, the capi de tutti capi, you know, which means the boss of all bosses. You know, and so the gaffer, or essentially the coach, he's the boss, but he's an underboss to this capo de tutti capi, you know? And that's can be a problem because a lot of you guys want, you know, these like other new modern coaches. And, you know, I don't think they're going to clash with Madrid. They're going to clash with Florentino and he'll sack him. He'll sack him. They're going to say, I want this player, I want that player, I want this player, I want that player. And you know, we see Florentino's all about the cash and about maintaining the money. But see, here's the thing. The one thing is, as much as, you know, that might be a bad thing, and that's the problem. There needs to be some kind of balance because he's already, I would say he's too strong and he's too much of a front man. The problem is, I don't think he's going to step back, but he won't be bossed around. But there needs to be some sort of balance and getting there. You know, Zidane tried, but then Zidane got to a point where he felt like he was no longer respected. I wouldn't say respected, but because they have a good relationship. But I would say he got to a point where he no longer felt supported by the club in the decisions that he wanted, like in the things that he wanted to do. And I think that's something that. The reason why Ancelotti is there is because he kind of is a yes man. Because he's a yes man. He's a good coach. You know, he gets along with the players, so that helps in the end. Players want to play for him. You know, and I think that's also a good thing. You know, people do love him. You know, he's that kind of guy. Maybe he's not the most technical of coaches, so that's one thing that's obviously an issue. But you know, you also have to take into account that Florentino is God. And I, you know, as much as you, Madridistas, I mean, if you're a Real Madrid fan, you need to understand that Florentino is God, essentially, for Real Madrid, that he's going nowhere. The only way Florentino is going to go out is if this team, like, essentially loses game after game after game after game after game for, like an entire, like years on end, like 2 years. Oh, no, not years on end, but like if he were to be in mid table right now, then I mean, that would be where people would start getting together and be like, yo, we need this guy out of the club. But he's got such a stronghold on the presidency that he's not going anywhere. And the thing is, part of it, you have to realize that, yes, Florentino is God, and Florentino is going to bring that regardless, Florentino, he is a necessary evil if you don't like him, or if he's, you know, he is necessary, because Real Madrid wouldn't be where it is currently financially and, you know, being able to pursue players, even though we would like them to pursue more, because they financially they can. But what he's doing, he's just being stingy. He's saving money, you know, and I think it's, you know, there's probably other things going on, because he's saving money for a rainy day, essentially, because, you know, he wanted to go all in for Mbappe. And now that didn't happen, or maybe he's going to try again. Maybe there's things that he's got under his sleeve because he wants, you know, a huge signing to be a part of like the unveiling of the Bernabeu, which I wouldn't put past him. So he's kind of, you know, I think he's definitely got an ace up his sleeve, but it's making us wait. But I think, you know, in the end, that's the problem. Florentino doesn't mind making you guys wait. He doesn't mind making us suffer. He doesn't mind saying, listen, we're going to play with what we got as long as I say, until I want to splash the cash for the guys that we need for the future. And you can't put that on Ancelotti, you know? But then also, I can't fault Florentino for doing it. If he's going to be businessman, he's going to be smart. You know, sometimes in business, you know, especially after COVID and the pandemic and everything, you got to buckle down, and he's got to buckle down, and let's say he really wants to go for Galacticos, you know? I mean, and we did, you know, we brought in players. We brought in players like Luka Jovic. We brought in players like Hazard, and they just didn't pan out. They were guys that everybody wanted at that time, and they didn't pan out. You know, and then we sprung for Tchouaméni, and that's been a good result. But we need other things. You know, we sprung for Rudiger, and now I'm starting to have my doubts. I don't know if his mentality, that sometimes he can be so reckless. I mean, I love David Alaba too, but I think David Alaba's problem is like the air. Like, I swear, like in the air, when balls are going like into the box, I feel like he's just not there to jump and like put his body on the line. You know, I feel like Militao is definitely more of that type of player. Rudiger definitely, you know, he almost broke his face essentially doing that for the team, but he's a wild man. He's a wild man. He's off and on. So, you know, maybe he needs some time. I don't know. Maybe he needs some time. But still, you know, I still think, you know, Nacho is an important guy for our team. Militao is an important guy for our team. David Alaba, Rudiger, I think we're solid there. But I think, you know, if Nacho does leave, then I would definitely jump for somebody like Vardiol. You know, I think we need to get that guy, you know. And then he would definitely be a starter, you know, over Rudiger and over David Alaba. And I don't know if Alaba wants to play as a left back, but if he doesn't, then, you know, he might want to start looking elsewhere, because, you know, he's also older too. Alaba is, you know, but I like him. I like him so much though. But I think also some of his best days are behind him too, which is why he left. Bayern Munich. But I also think, you know, David Alaba, he's a passionate player too. And I like that. Those passionate players, I think you need them. You know, those guys that, you know, he's shown his leadership. But he's got his times when he'll make mistakes. But I mean, these guys aren't infallible. They're professional players, but they're not infallible. You know, Vardiol, for everything, you know, for everything that people talked about him, he got smoked by Messi, you know, and a 35-year-old Messi at that. He's still Messi, but it's a 35-year-old Messi. He got smoked by him, you know. But still, you know, and you're not going to fault that guy for that. You're not going to say he's any less of a player because of that. It happens. What else can I say? You know, I guess Ancelotti, for me, he should stay until the end of the season. And then I think we can see where we're at. Unless, of course, results continue to fall, you know, like we have Villarreal up next. And then, you know, that would be a huge hit. That would be, I essentially think we would be in a crisis if we could start saying that we'd be in a crisis, and Ancelotti would starting to worry, definitely worry. If we lose to Villarreal in the Copa del Rey, and then we're out of two trophies we could have won. Obviously, the lesser trophy, the one that you'd probably be okay losing, even though we should never be okay losing anything when it comes to Real Madrid, or no team would be. No team should be, but definitely not Real Madrid. Supercopa is not one of them. Is one of them that you can kind of like say, okay, we lost that one. But the ones that you need to win, Copa del Rey, you know, Champions League, La Liga. You know, Champions League is always a tough one, but we seem to do it all the time. Copa del Rey is one that's been elusive to us. And now we have to face Villarreal in Estadio La Cerámica. And that's going to be a tough, tough game. And I told you guys last time on the podcast that tough times are ahead, man. And, you know, thankfully we got by Valencia. But once again, by the skin of our teeth, or essentially like having to really, really grind it out, going to penalties. And Barcelona just walked all over us, you know, made us look like shit, which I know we're not, you know. And now Villarreal, we have to get revenge on Villarreal, and we have to stay in Copa del Rey. This is where Real Madrid has to show their spine. This is where Ancelotti has to really put his foot down as a manager and maybe stop being a nice guy, stop being the, you know, the friend to the players and the sweet dude that I know he can be, and be like, yo, guys, we need to win this thing. I need you guys to go out angry. You need to fight, fight, fight. This is, you know, that whole Zidane thing that, you know, where every single game is a final. That needs how to be how these guys approach the rest of the season, because there is no more room for error. The wake-up call had to be today. You know, the wake-up call had to be today, because even though it's Supercopa, I mean, even and the thing is, the silver lining is that because it's the Supercopa and not one of the most important trophies, then you have that's one that you can win. I mean, sorry, that's one that you can let go, but that's the one that serves as the wake-up call. Do not lose do not let the wake-up call be losing Copa del Rey. Do not let it be losing another Clásico that puts us in, or more games in La Liga that puts us in even a deeper hole. Not that we're in a hole right now, but we're in second, 3 points behind Barcelona. Let it not be in a Champions League unless it's, you know, playing a badass game where, you know, anybody can win in and you at least go out on your shield, you know? But this is the one that needs to be the wake-up call. There's no other thing. So, like I said, I think that unless the results continue to be bad, Ancelotti should be the guy until the end of the season, and we'll see what happens, because in my opinion, it's not only Ancelotti, it's the management, it's the players. I think the players, a lot of players left a lot to be desired today. You know, Carvajal, Rudiger, Mendy, Camavinga, Benzema. Benzema, Vinicius. Well, you know what, man? I can't hate on Vinicius. And you know why I can't hate on Vinicius? And here's the last thing I'm going to leave you guys with. I see a lot of people hating on Vinicius, and it's really bothering me, because, yes, I used to hate on the guy and think, you know, is he going to reach the potential? And I think Vinicius is reaching the potential. What he has to do is stop whining about every little thing and start concentrating on his football. But he needs the help. Because that guy can't consistently go one-on-one against five defenders, not one-on-one, but it sends one-on-five or one-on-three or one-on-two. You know, he can't do it all the time, and you can't. But the one thing I appreciate about Vinicius, but it's also the way we can end up burning him out, is if he doesn't get any help. Right now, Vinicius is the type of guy, he's the type of kid, because he's young and he's hungry. He's the type of kid that's going out there and fighting and fighting and fighting. And no matter how many times he fails, he continues to try to make those runs and try to make those dribbles and try to make something happen. And that is one thing that I will always appreciate about him. But if he's not getting the results and he's not getting the help, then what's going to happen is he's going to burn out and he's going to stop doing that. And when he stops doing that, that's when the biggest problems is going to come, because now you no longer have that, you know, invasive, crazy, reckless, chaotic guy that's really going to put it, give defenders a headache. So we need to solve that problem with the left back, or, you know, somebody assisting Vinicius on the left-hand side and helping him out. That needs to get fixed, like, soon. Because we're going to lose that. And I honestly think, you know, Vinicius is doesn't take the blame. I mean, he is running, consistently trying to do things. And the things aren't coming off because we're lame. Because he's not getting any help. And, you know, the 1-2s with Benzema aren't working right now because Benzema isn't in the greatest of form, you know? So I think from today, I'll only salvage Vinicius, I salvage Militao, I salvage Thibaut Courtois, of course. And that's really it, man. I mean, Toni Kroos, I mean, always doing a good job. I think Modric, you know, didn't play as well today. Rodrigo didn't play as well today. But this is nothing else, man. That's all this team has right now. And that's not a solution. That is not a good look. What needs to happen is, number one, the players need to get back into the groove of things. Valverde, you know, I started seeing a little bit better from him today, I think, but they need to start getting back into the groove of things. They need to wake up. They need to snap out of it. Holidays are over. World Cup, you can't blame the World Cup for your losses or your lack of attitude or lack of fitness anymore. It's a combination of things. It's not just on Ancelotti, so we can't just blame Ancelotti. It's a combination between Ancelotti, some of the players being burnt out, also not having any backup, looking at the bench and feeling like there's nothing else that they can bring out and offer them any help at whatsoever. So it's a combination of all things. You can't just put it on one guy and say, Ancelotti out. Like, somebody's going to come in right now and with zero signings, with this same team, going to switch them into world beaters. It's not going to happen. You're completely out of sorts if you really think, or out of pocket, as they would say, if you think that the solution is getting rid of Ancelotti now, and that these same 22 something players are going to be able to perform any better than they are right now. The likes of Hazard and Mariano and all these guys are going to come on all of a sudden and become like, you know, the next. You know, I don't know. They're going to look like who? You know, they're going to look like the Brazil from like the early 2000s. That's not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen right now. You know, let it happen until the end and let's see what management does. Let's see what Florentino does. I mean, he's still got a little over 15 days to make something happen. He better make something happen, man. Bring in just one guy. Bring in Fran Garcia. Bring in somebody, man. But we need some sort of solution. Oh, God. It's a rough one. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for joining me on this episode of the podcast. You know, very happy to have you all here. I know it was a sad, sad turn of events for all of us Madridistas here on, you know, watching the game today, just seeing the team perform the way they did. But you know, a la Madrid, we always keep on going. You know, you gotta stick to it. You gotta stick to your team. You love the team, and you know, you gotta continue to love Real Madrid, continue to hate Barcelona, and want them to fail. And you know, that's what needs to happen. You know, vamos Real, a la Madrid. You know, we gotta keep on sticking, and I think we can turn this around. This needs to be the wake up call. But regardless of that, you know, guys, focus on the fact that, listen, you know, this is, things like this happen. You think, you know, bad ruts happen and bad runs of form happen. But now we've hit that wall and that should be the wake up call. And I think we're going to turn this thing around and, you know, Madrid always makes us suffer and then comes out big in the end. So I think that's what's going to happen, guys. So thank you again for listening. Remember, hit us up, join us, subscribe on the Nada Más podcast, at Nada Más podcast on YouTube to watch the video version of the podcast. Also check us out on at Nada Más podcast on Twitter, where I'm most active, at Nada Más podcast on Facebook, and at YNM podcast on Instagram. Also check us out, of course, obviously on YouTube, but if you are looking at it on YouTube and want to listen to it while you're driving home or whatever, you know, check us out also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, everywhere podcasts can be found. And just help, you know, help us out with reaching 1,000 subscribers on YouTube and continuing to, you know, spread the word about Nada Más podcast there on Apple Podcasts as well. You know, leave us a comment, leave us a rating, leave us just give us a shout out. All right, guys, thank you very much for listening. I'll talk to you again soon. And a la Madrid y nada más.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.